Chapter 5. You some harm someday yet. Apostrophe apostrophe and so it went on. They could be seen on the roads, she tramping stole idly in her finery gray dress, black feather, stout boots, prominent white cotton gloves that caught your eye 100 yards away, and he, his coat slung picturesquely over one shoulder, pacing by her side, gallant of bearing and casting tender glances upon the girl with the golden heart. I wonder whether he saw how plain she was. Perhaps among types so different from what he had ever seen, he had not the power to judge, or perhaps he was seduced by the divine quality of her pity. Yanko was in great trouble meantime. In his country you get an old man for an ambassador in marriage affairs. He did not know how to proceed. However, one day in the midst of sheep in the field he was now swaffer's under shepherd with Foster, he took off his hat to the father, and declared himself humbly. I dare say she's fool enough to marry you, apostrophe was all Foster said. And then, apostrophe he used to relate, he puts his hat on his head, looks black at me, as if he wanted to cut my throat, whistles the dog, and off he goes, leaving me to do the work. Apostrophe apostrophe the Fosters, of course, didn't like to lose the wages the girl earned. Amy used to give all her money to her mother. But there was in Foster a very genuine aversion to that match. He contended that the fellow was very good with sheep, but was not fit for any girl to marry. For one thing, he used to go along the hedges muttering to himself like a damn fool. And then, these foreigners behave very queerly to women sometimes. And perhaps he would want to carry her off somewhere, or run off himself. It was not safe. He preached it to his daughter, that the fellow might ill-use her in some way. She made no answer. It was, they said in the village, as if the man had done something to her. People discussed the matter. It was quite an excitement, and the two went on walking out together in the face of opposition. Then something unexpected happened. I don't know whether old Swaffer ever understood how much he was regarded in the light of a father by his foreign retainer. Anyway, the relation was curiously feudal. So when Yanko asked formally for an interview, and the Miss who he called the severe, deaf Miss Swaffer simply IMISS less than I greater than, it was to obtain their permission to marry. Swaffer heard him unmoved, dismissed him by a nod, and then shouted the intelligence into Miss Swaffer's best ear. She showed no surprise, and only remarked grimly, in a veiled blank voice, he certainly won't get any other girl to marry him. Apostrophe apostrophe, it is Miss Swaffer who has all the credit of the munificence. But in a very few days it came out that Mr. Swaffer had presented Yanko with a cottage, the cottage you've seen this morning, and something like an acre of ground had made it over to him in absolute property. Wilcox expedited the deed, and I remember him telling me he had a great pleasure in making it ready. It recited. In consideration of saving the life of my beloved grandchild, Bertha Wilcox. Apostrophe apostrophe, of course, after that no power on earth could prevent them from getting married. Her infatuation endured. People saw her going out to meet him in the evening. She stared with unblinking, fascinated eyes up the road, where he was expected to appear, walking freely, with a swing from the hip, and humming one of the love tunes of his country. When the boy was born, he got elevated at the coach and horses, apostrophe essayed again a song and a dance, and was again ejected. People expressed their commiseration for a woman married to that jack-in-the-box. He didn't care. There was a man now, he told me boastfully, to whom he could sing, and talk in the language of his country, and show how to dance by and by. But I don't know. To me he appeared to have grown less springy of step, heavier in body, less keen of eye. Imagination, no doubt, but it seems to me now, as if the net of fate had been drawn closer round him already. One day I met him on the footpath over the Telford Hill. He told me that women were funny. Apostrophe apostrophe I had heard already of domestic differences. People were saying that Amy Foster was beginning, to find out what sort of madness he had married. He looked upon the sea with indifferent, unseeing eyes. His wife had snatched the child out of his arms one day as he sat on the doorstep crooning to it a song such as the mothers sing to babies in his mountains. She seemed to think he was doing it some harm. Women are funny. And as he had objected to him praying aloud in the evening. Why? He expected the boy to repeat the prayer aloud after him by and by, as he used to do after his old father when he was a child in his own country. And I discovered he longed for their boy to grow up, so that he could have a man to talk with in that language that to our ears sounded so disturbing, so passionate, and so bizarre. Why his wife should dislike the idea he couldn't tell. But that would pass, he said. And tilting his head knowingly, he tapped his breastbone to indicate that she had a good heart. Not hard, not fierce, open to compassion, charitable to the poor. I walked away thoughtfully. I wondered whether his difference, his strangeness, were not penetrating with repulsion, that dull nature they had begun by irresistibly attracting. I wondered. The doctor came to the window and looked out at the frigid splendor of the sea, immense in the haze, as if enclosing all the earth with all the hearts lost among the passions of love and fear. Physiologically now, he said. Turning away abruptly, it was possible. It was possible. He remained silent. Then went on, at all events, the next time I saw him, he was ill lung trouble. He was tough, but I dare say he was not acclimatized as well as I had supposed. It was a bad winter, and, of course, these mountaineers do get fits of homesickness, and a state of depression would make him vulnerable. He was lying half-dressed on a couch downstairs. A table covered with a dark oilcloth took up all the middle of the little room. There was a wicker cradle on the floor, a kettle spouting steam on the hob, and some child's linen lay drying on the fender. The room was warm, but the door opens right into the garden, as you noticed perhaps. He was very feverish, and kept on muttering to himself. She sat on a chair and looked at him fixedly across the table with her brown, blurred eyes. Why don't you have him upstairs? Apostrophe I asked. With a start and a confused stammer she said, I couldn't sit with him upstairs, sir. Apostrophe, I gave her certain directions. And going outside, I said again that he ought to be in bed upstairs. She wrung her hands. I couldn't. He keeps on saying something I don't know what. Apostrophe with the memory of all the talk against the man that had been dinned into her ears, I looked at her narrowly. I looked into her short-sighted eyes, at her dumb eyes, that once in her life had seen an enticing shape, but seemed, staring at me, to see nothing at all now. But I saw she was uneasy. What's the matter with him? Apostrophe, she asked in a sort of vacant trepidation. He doesn't look very ill. I never did see anybody look like this before. Do you think, I asked indignantly, he is shamming? Apostrophe, I can't help it, sir, she said stolidly. And suddenly she clapped her hands and looked right and left. And there's the baby. I am so frightened. He wanted me just now, to give him the baby. I can't understand what he says to it. Can't you ask a neighbor, to come in tonight? I asked. Please, sir, nobody seems to care to come, she muttered, dully resigned all at once. I impressed upon her the necessity of the greatest care, and then had to go. There was a good deal of sickness that winter. Oh, I hope he won't talk. She exclaimed softly just as I was going away. I don't know how it is I did not see but I didn't. And yet, turning in my trap, I saw her lingering before the door, very still, and as if meditating a flight up the miry road. Towards the night his fever increased. He tossed, moaned, and now and then muttered a complaint. and she sat with the table between her and the couch, watching every movement and every sound, with the terror, the unreasonable terror, of that man she could not understand creeping over her. As he had drawn the wicker cradle close to her feet, there was nothing in her now but the maternal instinct and that unaccountable fear. Suddenly coming to himself, parched, he demanded a drink of water. She did not move. She had not understood, though he may have thought he was speaking in English. He waited, looking at her, burning with fever, amazed at her silence and immobility, and then he shouted impatiently, "Water! Give me water!" Apostrophe, she jumped to her feet, snatched up the child, and stood still. He spoke to her, and his passionate remonstrances only increased her fear of that strange man. I believe he spoke to her for a long time, entreating, wondering, pleading, ordering, I suppose. She says she bore it as long as she could. And then a gust of rage came over him. He sat up and called out terribly one word, some word. Then he got up, as though he hadn't been ill at all, she says. And as in fevered dismay, indignation, and wonder he tried to get to around the table, she simply opened the door and ran out with the child in her arms. She heard him call twice after her down the road in a terrible voice and fled. Da-da-da-da. But you should have seen stirring behind the dull, blurred glance of these eyes the specter of the fear which had hunted her on that night 3 miles, and a half to the door of Foe's Ter's cottage. I did the next day. And it was I who found him lying face down, and his body in a puddle, just outside the little wicket gate. I had been called out that night to an urgent case in the village, and on my way home at daybreak passed by the cottage. The door stood open. My man helped me to carry him in. We laid him on the couch. The lamp smoked, the fire was out, the chill of the stormy night oozed from the cheerless yellow paper on the wall. Amy! Apostrophe, I called aloud, and my voice seemed to lose itself in the emptiness of this tiny house, as if I had cried in the desert. He opened his eyes. Gone! Apostrophe, he said distinctly. I had only asked for water, only for a little water. Dot 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 apostrophe, he was muddy. I covered him up and stood waiting in silence, catching a painfully gasped word now and then. They were no longer in his own language. The fever had left him, taking with it the heat of life. And with his panting breast and lustrous eyes he reminded me again of a wild creature under the net, of a bird caught in a snare. As he had left him. As he had left him sick, helpless, thirsty. The spear of the hunter had entered his very soul. Why? Apostrophe, he cried in the penetrating and indignant voice of a man calling to a responsible maker. A gust of wind and a swish of rain answered. And as I turned away to shut the door, he pronounced the word merciful. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and expired. Eventually I certified heart failure as the immediate cause of death. His heart must have indeed failed him, or else he might have stood this night of storm and exposure to. I closed his eyes and drove away. Not very far from the cottage I met Foster walking sturdily between the dripping hedges with his collie at his heels. Do you know where your daughter is? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I asked. Don't I? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he cried. I am going to talk to him a bit. Frightening a poor woman like this. Apostrophe, he won't frighten her anymore, apostrophe, I said. He is dead. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he struck with his stick at the mud. And there's the child. Apostrophe, apostrophe, then, after thinking deeply for a while, I don't know that it isn't for the best. Apostrophe, apostrophe, that's what he said. And she says nothing at all now. Not a word of him. Never. Is his image as utterly gone from her mind as his lie and... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.